Welcome to the Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast. This is episode 2 of the Sports Porch, our first spinoff. You can also hear this episode and the remaining episodes to come on our new podcast called, appropriately, The Sports Porch. I sit down with Steve DeFlitch, who is now known as Willie, William Foster, from the movie Falling Down. Dave Moyo, the alum, because he constantly reminds us he's a Pitt alum. Mark Schwab, who we call Schwabber, because it just sounds good, and myself. And we talk about the bad start to the Steelers season, the loss of Ben, Mason Rudolph, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and the debacle that was the Pitt-Penn State game. Hear it all right now. Stay real. Welcome to the Sports Porch. As you can probably tell by the noises in the background, we are on the porch, and I'm here with Mark and Dave and Steve, and we're going to talk about the Steelers right now. So I'm just going to let anybody who wants to jump in here start right away. Let's not waste any time.
Oh my God. Does it get any worse than that? I mean, you go 0-2, you start the season 0-2, you have pretty much no chance of making the playoffs now, much slimmer chance. I know that, you know, the Steelers went 0-4 a few years back, ended up going 8-8 and looking pretty good, but this is not that year with Roethlisberger going down the way he hurt his elbow, probably looking like a career-ending injury. Ouch. I don't know what to say.
Hey, welcome to my world. The Redskins lost 2 quarterbacks in the space of 1 week last year. Woo!
Yeah, but none of them the caliber of a Roethlisberger.
This is true. I cannot argue with that.
Yeah, I think the wheels are off. I think it's clear to see that. It's been happening. The spiral's been happening. It looked like maybe they could right the ship a little bit of a new attitude, a couple of players that might be able to turn the tide. But the defense has the same old problems. They have not been addressed. But at least up till week 2, they had not been addressed. They're too easy to beat at this point. In terms of the blueprint is out there. And teams are taking advantage of a very soft middle of the defense over and over again to gouge them. And when you can't stop anybody, you can't win football games. At some point, you have to stop somebody. Even if it's the last drive of the game and you have to force a punt to get the ball back, and all of a sudden you choose those 4 minutes to let Russell Wilson do whatever he wants, running the football. Right. He had not run all day. Now you over-pursue your pass rush and he just exploits it and runs. Right. And you don't figure that out once. He does it 3 times in the span of a minute, and not one time does somebody suggest maybe somebody should watch the quarterback leaving the pocket.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Before the game. How they were about to face a different kind of quarterback.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And Wilson took advantage of everything they gave him. People talked about the great pass rush. They didn't have a great pass rush in that game. They sacked him 4 times, all in the first half. None of them meant a damn thing. They harassed him so much that he threw for 300 yards and completed 80% of his attempts. He wasn't hurried. He wasn't harassed. He was perfectly comfortable finding receivers. It was too easy for him all day. The pass rush was overrated as a bright spot. It wasn't. It didn't come through when they needed it to, and it didn't pressure him enough. He was too comfortable. The 4 sacks, 2 of them came on back-to-back plays in the span of 30 seconds. So I wash my hands of those sacks. When, you know, they play 2 halves of football, and the second half was a train wreck on fire.
Well, let me break up the misery.
Thank you.
I actually have something very positive to share. I am a believer in Mason Rudolph.
I think that's a bunch of crap. I think you're just saying that.
Well, if you'll allow me to speak,
okay,
you might feel differently. I've been to 3 college football games in my life. I've seen Penn State play Central Florida and seen Larry Johnson trounce them. I have seen Tennessee defeat Florida the year that Tennessee won the national championship.
With T. Martin at quarterback.
With T. Martin at quarterback is absolutely correct.
Former Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I saw Mason Rudolph and the Oklahoma State team, Cowboys, right?
The Cowboys.
Dismantle the Pitt Panther football team like nothing I've ever seen a couple years ago.
Oh, you must not watch a lot of Pitt football.
I don't. I will tell you what.
He just said he only watched three.
I also feel like he's giving like some kind of speech.
I watched
that game, and I could be wrong, but it was something like 48-7 at halftime. Mason Rudolph threw, I think he threw for over 500 yards, and I think there were four receivers that were over 100 yards in the game.
Including James Washington.
And I remember like looking at him and just saying, like, you know, he's a pro quarterback. And I remember when the draft came around, he was getting roughly like a 2-4th round kind of grade. Yeah. But I remember sitting there thinking, like, you know, I think this guy's going to be one of those guys that goes somewhere 2-4, but becomes a starting quarterback in this league. I remember telling my wife, I thought it was a great pick. And I think, look, I know the body of work is extremely small, you know, and the defense wasn't prepared for him. But hey, look, he stepped into that game and he brought life into the team.
Yeah.
He really did. And he wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, he took control of the team. Mm-hmm. I heard the players talking, you know, after the game that, you know, they felt real comfortable mm-hmm. with him leading the team. And I think, you know, maybe he doesn't have the arm strength of a Ben Roethlisberger or, you know, one of the other guys in the league that can really, really has a cannon. But he can make every throw on the field. And I really feel that what's going to happen, this is my bold prediction. My bold prediction is that at the end of the season, Ben Roethlisberger is going to want to return playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what's going to happen behind the scenes is that's not going to happen because they're going to want to move forward with Mason Rudolph.
That, to me, that's almost a best case scenario, that exact mm-hmm. thing playing out, because then you're saying that Rudolph performs so capably that you can move on from a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right,
that's and
right.
that's fine with me. If I'm not one of these people who's like, well, it's, you know, drive Ben until the wheels fall off. Well, maybe the wheels fell off.
It has a lot to do with Ben's age and yes. Ben's, you know, not disrespecting his career salary. One bit, but yeah. You know, the bottom line is that he's breaking down.
Yeah.
The other advantage of Ben going down is freeing up the salary cap to sign Micah Fitzpatrick this week. So. I think that it shows that it's a sign of confidence that the team has in Rudolph, because you don't go out and lose your first round pick, the first pick they won't have since 1967, as a first round pick, to say, you know, we want to give him somebody who's good. This has got to be a high class, world class defensive guy. He has to make an immediate impact in the San Francisco game for it to say, yeah, not only did we do it just for because we needed to shore up our defense, like you said, in the middle of the field, but if they don't do that, they're basically throwing in a towel for the season. So yeah, that's the way I feel about it.
You know, will he know enough terminology and coverage schemes with Pittsburgh's defense to make that impact right off the bat? I don't know. I like the move because of its boldness. I like the "we got to get better right now" attitude. So let's go make an impact decision here and trade for a guy. He's 22, mm-hmm. so I consider him their 2020 first round pick.
He's very cap friendly the next 3 years.
Very, very cap friendly. I consider him the first round pick, and I love the move. And I'm sorry, but I do not trust Colbert and Tomlin with first round draft picks. I just don't. Look at them, Ziggy Hood and Rashard Mendenhall, and there's a bunch of scrubs in there who are either journeymen in the league if they were lucky, or never got it. Jarvis Jones, these guys never got off the ground at all. Bud Dupree, you could argue, is a bust of a pick.
Yeah. They have a sixth round pick that did pretty well, though.
Yeah,
but that was actually quite a while ago.
That's true.
Right, and what I'm saying is that first rounder doesn't bother me. because I don't know what they would do with it anyway. They're very hit or miss on these first rounders. I think less than half of them you could call successes in the Tomlin-Colbert era. So I'm fine with it and bringing in a player who we don't have to go through some rookie year with him and watch him learn his way through the NFL. And then in his second year, when he should take that step, he's Terrell Edmonds and still, you know, makes one or two plays a game, but gets beat far too often for my liking. I'm not sold on Edmonds at all, man.
The one question I have about Minka is that he certainly has the pedigree. He's an Alabama guy, right?
Right.
Yep.
And obviously he was the 11th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
But has anybody here been breaking down Miami Dolphins film?
Yeah, they're horrible.
So I have no idea. I really have no idea.
Yeah, you're right.
If he's
what
good.
Do we really know about the guy?
Well, they make him. They've made him play every position he could possibly play. That's so I don't really think there is any real film on him. That's what worries me about him. Is that he's a guy who this is his third year in the league. Or second year.
He was in 2018.
Second year. Well, second. So he's got time. So this is his second year in the league. Miami is a mess. They made him play three different positions.
Right.
That's not what he wanted. The Steelers aren't – he's not going to just play one position with Pittsburgh. But for now, supposedly he is.
I think he
will. You got to learn a defense on the fly. And it's kind of like for all the talent in the world, it is a bold move. He's probably a better talent than what's in the secondary right now. But I don't think there's much you can expect from him right now. I think to think that he's going to just, you know, he's not Sean Taylor.
No.
You know, he's not going to just walk on a football field and start intercepting balls and killing people. You know,
probably
so,
not.
Right.
Probably
if he
not.
Does, great.
He might. I mean, like I said, who's the last person here who saw a Miami Dolphins game?
Yeah, not me.
Only if you're watching New England highlights.
If you lose a bet, that's when you watch it.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I like the move because I think it gives them flexibility in the secondary. I don't think they're thinking about saving this year. I honestly think that they're looking at this year as a wash now.
Yeah, I would
because
agree.
Because you have to start Rudolph.
Yeah.
He's a good He's a good college quarterback. He's got to learn. This is how you learn, trial by fire. You know, I'm not a fan of grooming a quarterback for 2 or 3 years because I think they get real comfortable back there. You know, it's like, who did the Steelers just sign? Paxton Lynch? You
Stop.
Know? Yeah.
It's just funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, he's on the practice squad. I'm just saying, you look at guys, he was a first round pick.
Yeah.
You groom them and then they end up getting comfortable and they're no good. I think the situation couldn't be any better for Mason Rudolph, but I think the Steelers are looking at it and saying, let's pick up Minka because he wanted to leave. We are the Steelers. There's still a mystique about playing for the Steelers.
Sure.
He's going to be fired up. He's a good talent. Mason's going to learn. He's going to learn. We'll figure out the Ben situation at the end of the year. I think Ben's going to retire. I don't care what anybody says.
I agree.
And then next year is the year where this pays off. There you go.
Yeah, but I think
we just stop talking right there. It's all good.
Oh,
I don't think you said it in the way that you meant it.
What do you mean? You
said I think the Steelers think this year is a wash, but it sounds more like what you're saying is the Steelers are using this year to move forward with the organization and the plans.
Well, yeah, I mean
that
wash
meaning
like if they do well this year, of course that would be great.
Right.
But they're willing to say, you know what? Let's make a move now while we can and get this guy in our secondary
because
this guy's going to have to learn. This new quarterback's going to have to learn.
Well, I think what they've done too, I think they've shown a lot of confidence in Mason Rudolph and just in the team in general, because let's face it. If you thought that Mason Rudolph was going to fail, you then wouldn't give up that pick.
Right.
Because that pick might be a, you know, top 10
I agree
pick.
With you
True.
On that.
Right?
Yeah,
And so I believe that they feel that with Mason Rudolph, they could still maybe make a run, like in a 10-6 or something like that.
And
that's why they made the deal, because they wanted to get better to try to get to that point.
And this is where I think maybe the Steelers being too close in proximity to the Pirates brings delusion into the picture, because the reality with the Steelers right now is they do not have a running game. It is non-existent. James Conner, man, he is not good enough. He does not produce enough against good defenses to convince me that they can rely on the running game to do it. And then when he does play a lot, he gets hurt. He's just an injury-riddled machine. Jalen Samuels is a nice piece, but he's never carried the load for more than a couple of games and been a significant feature back. Right, but
And he won't with Connor being correct. They're not going to hand over the reins to him.
Worried about them from the standpoint of they don't have something in place where Rudolph can ease his way into this the way Ben did, play half the playbook, cut the field in half, whatever they did, and be able to move forward productively because the ground game is so dominating and the defense will just shut teams down. Those are their two weak spots right now, and that's what concerns me. I do like Rudolph. I compared him to Drew Brees, and not because he's Drew Brees-like, but he has mediocre arm strength, but he can make all the throws. He's very accurate, and he's big. Unlike Brees, he's big. I think he's a big Drew Brees type. What he'll become, we'll see.
All right, now that Dave's done talking, we'll take a break.
Wow, 30 seconds over, folks.
All right, now that we're back, the Steelers have a West Coast game coming up on Sunday at 4:25.
My birthday, more importantly.
Oh.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
I don't want to upstage the Steelers, but much more importantly than Mason Rudolph's freaking first game
is my 49th birthday. All right, well.
Really exciting.
Thanks. Yep.
All right, move on.
Wow.
It's the end of the show. We'll see you folks. No more. So everybody knows the Steelers are, I don't know, something like 3-10 on the West Coast in the last
They're not playing the Raiders.
3-10 on the West Coast, right. And so they're coming in off a 0-2, going on the West Coast. Playing a resurging team in the 49ers. They're 2-0. And then just to pile it on, you got a rookie quarterback. You got a defense that's in shambles. And you touched on this before the break. I really think, let's pretend Ben was still in the game. All right. Their defense is mediocre at best. Okay. At best. Most likely it's poor. I think their real problem is their running game, because your running game can sometimes be half of your defense.
Yeah.
Because it takes, you run the clock. Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So I don't feel very good about a game in San Francisco. I don't.
I agree. I mean, the problem with the Steelers are they have to establish the run, and the way you beat San Francisco is with the pass.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to set up the run by passing the ball. So that means Rudolph's going to have to be on from the very beginning. And that's going to be tough for a guy making his first start. I mean, I know he's probably played in some big-time games, and like Mark said, he's got good talent, and I believe in his talent also, but to put a first rookie starter in a position like that is a very difficult start. So he might make a mistake early, get their defense and the crowd into the game. It could be a big problem if they start off slow. Now, if they can start by establishing the run, and who knows what they're doing this week, maybe they're working on that this week, and they can do that, then they got a chance. They really have. The problem is the 49ers game doesn't really mean anything. You want to beat divisional opponents if you want to win your division, but you can't start. First of all, you can't start off 0-2, which happened. So now to start off 0-3, you're starting to think it's time to throw in the towel. But I think last week, if you would ask me this, I would say this would have been the trap game where it would be 1-1, and it's like, okay, here come the Steelers. They always play down. Now they actually are the underdogs, probably by 4 or 6 points, and they have to win. So maybe they'll play better as being the underdog.
You know what, Steve? The other side of the coin, though, here is it is the trap game for the San Francisco 49ers.
Now
that's
it
true.
Is.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
It is.
Now it is.
It is. Because
who have they beaten?
Do we know who that's a really good question. So, who have they beaten? Yeah. What, well, Tampa Bay and Cincinnati?
I don't know. Well, Mark's making his
Tampa
point.
Tampa Bay and Cincinnati. But they were both on the road.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, here's my
that makes it the road games.
So if you look at this game, everything in the world tells you to not pick the Steelers, right? Rookie quarterback, new guy in the secondary,
running game,
going on the road, West Coast,
all of it.
49ers are feeling good about themselves, but maybe this is the type of game where a team like San Francisco, who, let's say, providing Jimmy Garoppolo stays healthy, they're an emerging good team, right? An emerging good team often has a tendency to start feeling good about themselves and feeling that they're actually better than they are. They're going to go out there and they're not going to work for it. It's just going to happen. And that's why it's a trap game for the San Francisco 49ers. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Steelers come out and nobody's thinking they've got a chance, and they squeak out a victory, something like a 24-21.
You did predict this most recent game very closely.
I did. I was the winner of last week's prediction. Yeah. I have that gift. And
just when I thought he was taking this seriously.
And so I'm going to say 24-21, Steelers win in a bit of a surprise.
We'll get to the rest of the predictions at the end here, but Mark just wanted to.
I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself.
He was rolling. Let him go.
I just love to spew out the knowledge.
And I must say that Steve this evening, to me anyway, is looking an awful lot like Michael Douglas in that movie. What was that movie that Michael Douglas was in? I wanted to look it up. Where he was the engineer in the China syndrome. No, in the that's close too. No, the engineer in the traffic jam in L.A.
Oh,
he gets out and he starts.
That's a great call. I wish people could see him right now.
Does he look exactly like him right now?
I forget the name of the movie, but he was being chased by Robert Duvall.
Falling down.
That's what it was. Here he is. We got falling down right here.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
Because he just goes around with the baseball bat and starts bashing the crap out of cars and stuff.
I mean, I think our audience is going to love this because they all know exactly what Steve looks like.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they don't.
Most of them remember me when he looks exactly like Michael Douglas falling down.
Google it.
Yeah.
That's a great call.
Google the movie Falling Down if you want to see what Steve
looks like. I don't have a pocket protector. I think he had a pocket protector and a white shirt.
Yeah. Well, that's more relaxed everyday stuff. Khakis,
No, who wears khakis?
I don't know. I don't even know if anybody says that word anymore.
I just played a bit.
I heard
Mason Rudolph wears khakis every day to the stadium.
I hear he sleeps with his helmet on. This guy just eats up football.
He
sleeps with his helmet on. He's ready.
Sleep with my wristbands.
Put me in, coach.
All right, so Schwarber thinks it's a trap game for San Francisco.
And I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, and a team that is young like San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. They start off the year. It doesn't matter that the other teams are bad, even if they're on the road, whatever. They go 2-0. They've got a certain bravado. Mm-hmm. The Steelers look like they're falling to pieces.
Right.
Because to anybody else out there,
right,
and even to us, they're falling to pieces.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're coming in. So this is the kind of game. I can guarantee you one thing. If the Steelers were playing the Washington Redskins, the Steelers would win.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee you.
We don't get to play you this year.
Huh?
We don't get to play you this year.
I know. It's really a shame because that's a guaranteed. You'd go at least 1-15. At least. So, yeah, I agree. I think it could be a trap game for San Francisco. I'm not ready to make a prediction on that. But
you said before that I was the best predictor. So
I didn't say that. I said that
you're going to jump on my coattails.
I said that you got it. You were the one that got closest to being right.
If that's what you thought you said.
Yeah. All right. That's enough of this BS.
All right.
So what do you think about the game?
I don't think.
Find out his name. I got to figure out his name because that's what we're going to start calling him from now on.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. I've always wanted a nickname. I've never had one.
Right.
No, I think Kyle Shanahan will have his team up for this challenge. I don't think Randy Fignor will change schemes. He'll try and run the same offense. Just pull out Ben and plug in Rudolph, and it's going to fail miserably. I don't feel good at all about this game. I think, like you said, them going out to the West, the Steelers on the West Coast are absolutely terrible. I don't see anything but a, if the Steelers are lucky, they'll get 14 points. But I see San Francisco putting up a 35 on them. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be bad. I think the Steelers still need to learn how to tackle. I think Minka will do just fine. He probably will hold Kittle's to low points because I'm playing him this week in my fantasy. So I fully expect the Steelers to do the right thing and
Was that a Cardinals reference? Was that a, okay. No.
Kittle plays for the tight end.
I was deciding that Steve will always and forever after be known as William Foster.
William Foster.
That was his Willie. Yeah, we're gonna call you. Willie.
I like Billy. Willie better.
Willie's
than
right. I like Willie.
I like Willie. Right. Better Willie. Than
Willie. Willie kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll get
Willy Nilly.
Don't we? What does Willy Nilly think?
All right, I'm going with the 49ers this week. I don't see the Steelers making any ground in 1 week.
What's
with
your
a new
score?
Quarterback? 35-14. San Francisco.
Here's the one thing that I think is in San Francisco's favor in terms of avoiding a trap game scenario is that it's their home opener. And I think that changes the score a little bit in terms of intensity and just sort of an unveiling of this Jimmy Garoppolo offense in front of its home fans. Here we go. It's our time to prove those two openers against two horrible teams weren't a fluke. So the home opener aspect of it for them bothers me a little bit about the Steelers being able to sort of sneak up on them because everyone wants to win their home opener except the Steelers, apparently. So I think I'm more aligning myself here with Willie in terms of the outcome of the game. I just think the Steelers are in too much damage control right now to regain their footing that quickly. And I am so down on the running game. I am so down on Juju as a number one receiver. I think you need one, especially if you're bringing in a quarterback who's making his first NFL start. Who's his go-to? I'm not sure Juju can be that guy. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I'm not sold on him as the number one. Until he shows me he can do it, I won't be sold on him as the number one. I think there are some guys that will be excellent players when they have that guy opposite that can take the attention away from them. And as soon as the spotlight shines on them, they melt. And I feel like he's melted a few times so far. And he's been an insignificant piece. The one big play he's had this year was on a trick play. And if the ball wasn't underthrown, he'd still be running, but it was on a trick play. So I need to see more from Juju before I believe this offense can produce points. I need to see more. And you know, they scored 26 points, but they were gifted two turnovers that really helped them out in that ball game. So I'm more in line with Steve or Willie. And going with San Francisco as well. I said last week, you got to recalibrate all the predictions because Ben's out and things are different now. Rudolph might get there. I don't know if this is the week he does, though. I hope. I really hope. My score, San Francisco, 27, Pittsburgh, 10.
Oh,
so you're 27-10. He was 35-14. You were
24-21 Steelers.
24-21. You know what? This is a trap game for me. So I'm going to do the same thing I did last week, but I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say 42-35.
Wow. Shootout.
42-35 Niners. It's going to be a shootout because I think that they're going to let Mason Rudolph throw the ball. And I think the Steelers are going to get behind early because, like you said, Dave, it's a home opener. I think there's going to be very little running in this game whatsoever. Shanahan loves to throw the ball. And That's me.
You know, another thought, though, guys, here is the home opener can also go against
sure.
you. Yeah, absolutely.
So, as we saw. If you get off to a bad start, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the fans are expecting you to beat this, you know, this crippled Steelers team. And all of a sudden, you know, their team's down 14-3 at halftime. Yeah, the fans might turn on the 49ers.
Do you really think the Steelers defense can hold the San Francisco 49ers to 3.5 points?
I don't know.
There's just no way.
I don't know.
The defense just is not good enough. They run too many schemes. Unless they really dumb down the defense and just tighten up the run and don't give up the big plays, that's just inconceivable.
I still think Jimmy Garoppolo's played maybe like 8 good games in his career. I'm not ready to anoint him yet. I'm really not.
Yeah, but he's also playing against a terrible defense, right? This coming week. I mean, I'm not ready to anoint him either because I'm with you, Schwab.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Okay, we'll see. So
he's a professional ball player.
We've got 10. So 2 for the Niners, 2 for the Steelers.
You picked the Niners.
No, I picked the Niners.
You picked the Niners. Yeah. Three for the Niners.
You're the Niners. That's my apologies. I was too busy making fun of Steve. I'm sorry, Willie.
I don't think you're making fun of me.
Yeah.
No.
Think about Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas in that movie?
He's married to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Pretty good comparison.
Before Michael Scott married.
A lot of respect for Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So
Breed is good.
There's one more thing that I think we wanted to talk about real quick, and obviously that's Pitt Penn State.
Oh, Chris, really? Right. You got to make it quick because it's just so.
I know. I know. Dave's got 8 billion.
Let me get mine in before Dave starts.
He has eight billion resumes to review.
Let me just start before Dave goes because I think he's going to have the final say on this.
You're probably right.
So it's sad that the Pitt Penn State era has ended again. I mean, after 100 times, you would think they would want to play each other just for the rivalry's sake. I mean, Penn State is clearly the superior franchise, I guess you could say. They've had Pitt's numbers, but yet Pitt somehow managed to make that game winnable. In some way, shape, or form, they always do this. They find a way to say, okay, maybe we can do this. And I'll let Dave talk about how they ruined that. I think everybody here knows how they ruined it. It's just absolutely ridiculous that they can get so close and just fumble the ball on the 1 yard line.
To me, that I'll be the first one to admit, like I could care less about college football. When I was younger, I liked it. I don't really care about it anymore. Happy to talk about it. But the Pitt-Penn State rivalry when I was younger, many good memories. I knew this was happening. I figured Penn State was going to roll over them. I paid absolutely no attention. And then I heard the headlines, 17-10. First thought, wow, they kept it really close.
Yeah.
They could have won. Then comes the kicker. Literally missed the field goal,
donk,
you know, on a 4th and 1 from the 1 yard line with time running out. Basically, I don't know how much time was left. Enough time that running it in would have been the best thing to do. That blew my mind. So, you know, you guys have fun with that one. That's all I got to say.
Well, I'll kind of put my 2 cents in and then we'll let Dave finish it off. I feel like you've got stuff burning inside you.
Oh yeah. He's burning. He's on fire. I can see it.
Now for me, I really have no ties to Pitt or Penn State, so it's not something I really cared about. But, you know, I think as any football fan, when we tune into a game that we don't have any ties to, we always root for the underdog, you know? So, you know, I find myself rooting for Pitt to win the game.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was enticing because they had their opportunities. Right. And, you know, you're going to yell at me for this and, you know, everybody else will too. But to be honest, I actually didn't think the field goal was terrible. And this is my thinking. I do understand, you know, you're down at the 1 yard line. You should trust your offensive line to run the ball in. And hey, if you don't make it, then your defense is set up with them with their backs against the wall. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, the way I was looking at it was, you know, Pitt was still obviously having a lot of trouble scoring. And they did need 2 scores to win the game. And I didn't really like their chances in overtime against the Penn State offense. So I kind of thought, hey, let's get this to 17-13. Let's kick it long. Let's get a 3-and-out. Let's go try to run out the clock and win the game with a touchdown at the end. It made some sense to me. I probably would not have gone in that direction if I really believed in my team. And maybe that's what the Pitt fans are upset about, is that the coach really didn't show belief in his guys. And if that's the case, then I can understand that. But from an outsider, I kind of had that other point of view. But the reality is that once again, Pitt falls to, you know, mighty Penn State. And I can just imagine for Pitt fans, just very disappointing once again. And it kind of is a microcosm of the whole Pitt football experience, at least in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, way longer than that, since 1981, really. You know, Pitt pivot. This is what Pitt does. They'll break your heart every time. You cannot get invested in them. And I make the mistake, because I'm an alum, of investing in them. And especially when they're at Penn State in the final game of something that should unquestionably occur every year, the utter selfishness of whoever's stopping this is disgraceful. But whatever, that's another topic for another day. 2 things bother me. One is something you hit on. Narduzzi showed no real faith in his team. Mm-hmm. First of all, the whole idea of this, of scoring twice, is predicated that your defense must stop Penn State, which they did all day. Penn State hit a couple of big plays for touchdowns, yeah. Had one
really big run.
Yeah, had one really kind of shorter field goal drive. They weren't dominating Pitt. They weren't moving the football. They weren't going to start. Their quarterback is not good. They weren't going to suddenly turn into a good offense. It wasn't going to happen. So if you are stopping a team all the live long day and you have them at the 1 yard line and you decide to kick a freaking field goal, you are telling me we would rather lose by 4 than lose by 7. That's what that move tells me. Go for the damn touchdown and put the pressure on Penn State. You've got all the momentum now. If you don't, you have them at the 1 with a defense that has stopped them all day. Chances are you'll force them into a punt and you'll have a shorter field than if you give them the ball back where they gave it to them with the missed field goal. The whole thing stunk to me. And the second thing that annoys me more than anything is the smugness of Narduzzi. Basically telling the press, you're a bunch of stupid idiots. You don't know football, and I do. I know what I'm doing. Don't question me. That was the right move. Sorry, coach. It was the wrong move. You made a bad call. It was the wrong move, and you don't own a damn thing. You can't recruit. You can't coach. Your teams suck. Every year, you've done nothing that means anything. And as far as I'm concerned, you can go find the first train right the hell out of Pittsburgh, because you'll never get the Panthers anywhere close to respectability or a championship level. And don't throw the Coastal Division championship at me. I said it last week. That's like being the smartest guy in prison. It gets you freaking nothing.
Tell us how you really feel.
And that was the moment that Dave Moyo won his first Emmy Award, or whatever the awards are for radio. Either that or got
I'm done
tossed
with
in
it
front
off.
Of the team.
Done with the, I've officially sworn off Pitt.
If I were you, I wouldn't go on the campus.
Until next week.
I mean, you can wear my glasses. You might look like Willie Foster.
I mean, I feel your anger.
What are you looking at? What are you pointing at there?
spiders on the porch.
I'm actually right now finding myself just moving a little bit further away from you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So,
spiders on the porch.
Not going to be able to cut this out. Another visual. That looks like a black widow. Doesn't it?
That's a mean ass spider.
That is a mean spider.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll try to maybe Dave will take a picture of that spider and we'll try to I'll get it up on the podcast. You too afraid to get near it?
You can tell
it.
You're
not gonna get it like that.
It's eating its way up the dropped.
There you go.
There it is.
That thing is mean.
Spinning a web.
All right, well while we all decide
we're really making a spider a lot more exciting than it is.
We're trying to decide who's gonna do the Spider-Man test, Schwaber.
I don't even know what that is.
What the hell is a Spider-Man?
You let the spider bite you, and then you let the spider bite you, and then you wake up, and you have
it has to be a radioactive spider. How do you even know that thing looks radioactive?
That thing looks
actually. We are pretty close to a hot cell down in Churchill.
I'm not into silly cartoon characters.
Okay, well, all right. Well, listen.
Spider-Man's a real person.
So we've that was some incredible podcasting there. So just to recap real quick, Mark's got San Francisco, 24 to 21.
He's got Pittsburgh.
No, he's got San Francisco.
Oh, no, Pittsburgh.
No, he has Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm sorry, one pit guy. 24 to 21. I know that spider's worrying me, too.
San Fran.
You've got San Fran. What was the score you gave?
79-4.
Got it, 79-4. You got San Fran, 35-14, and I'm at 42-35. So that's it for this week. Enjoy the games this weekend. And stay real. Thanks for coming.
That concludes episode 2 of The Sports Porch. I want to thank everybody for following Pittsburgh Beautiful, listening to the podcast. I want to thank Dave. I want to thank the alum, Willie Schwaber, as always, for getting out on the porch and talking a little bit about stuff. And that spider was absolutely huge. Just think big spider coming right at you. So once again, we're spinning the Sports Porch off. It will be a new podcast on its own, part of the PB Network, called the Sports Porch on Anchor. So you could subscribe and listen to upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening to Pittsburgh Beautiful. Stay real. The Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast is produced by me, Chris Klein. The opinions of the guests on the Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast are their own opinions and not necessarily the opinions of Pittsburgh Beautiful. All of the guests on our podcast were invited to appear and are not paid for their appearance. Thanks for listening to the Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast. Stay real.